verse number 16. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16. Amen. Luke 4, 16. Down to say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16 says, speaking about Jesus, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen.
Amen.
Then I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I was told that our theme was coming from verse number 3 in Ephesians 4. But if I could, I'd like to read Ephesians 1 through 3 in chapter 4. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Amen. I want to deal first with the theme. Amen. Amen. Because for the line of Judah, Church of God in Christ, you've been through some stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Over these 19 years and over these last 6 months. Amen. You've been through some things.
Yes, sir.
And I do believe, amen, that God is looking for and expecting everyone who's part of this ministry. And how many of you know we all have a responsibility to one another?
Amen.
Glory to God. How many of you know you don't live for yourself?
Amen.
You have a responsibility to your brother and to your sister. And Paul says here, amen, that a part of our responsibility is that we walk worthy of our calling.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We are all called by God. And God is saying to the line of Judah, walk worthy of your calling.
Yes.
But don't do it your way, do it my way, with lowliness. That's humility, amen.
Yeah.
Humility means God's will is done, not yours. Amen. With gentleness, with long suffering. That's patience right there. Amen. Forbearing with one another. That means overlooking people's faults. Come on, somebody. Yeah, they do some things that are wrong, but so do you. Amen. But we forbear with one another. And how do we do it? Not with criticism, but in love. And then I love verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In order to endeavor to do something, that means you have to put some effort into
it. Right.
You have to work hard at it.
Because
I maybe know it's not easy to live in peace in unity with people.
Right.
It takes some work.
Yes.
But how many of you know God's not excusing you from the work?
Right.
Amen. So he says, endeavor. Work hard at it, Lion of Judah. Amen. Because so many things are coming against you, amen, and there's so many obstacles in the way, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and work hard at it, amen.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil fracture the ministry, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stay on one accord, amen. One mind,
yes, sir.
One heart,
yes, sir.
One purpose,
yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Just going forward with one thing in mind,
yes.
That God will be glorified in this ministry.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But it's going to take some work.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But you're up to the task.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You're up to the task.
Yes. Yes.
Stay unified.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't let it be just a theme.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
Because this is not a theme.
That's right.
I just read the Word of God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So let's live by the Word. Amen.
Yes.
We'll come back to our theme. Now we got to get to our title.
All right.
So we're back in Luke chapter 4. I love coming here because God always gives me a message to encourage the man of God.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
But if I encourage the man of God, I hope that we're encouraging the people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because I tell you this, if the man of God is encouraged and standing strong, that's good for you.
Amen.
Amen. Message to church, don't wear out the man of God.
All right.
Our title today, amen, if you want to write something down, comes right out of the scripture text, and that's the words of Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And our title is, Because He Has Anointed Me to Preach.
All right.
Amen. Because He has anointed me to preach. I just want to talk to you for a little minute. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. I looked it up. We got this invitation 4 months ago.
All right.
Amen. And in preparation for coming here, amen, almost immediately, God spoke one word to me. One. And that word was Jubilee. Jubilee.
Yeah.
And then God was quiet for like the next 2.5 months. Amen. But I had a word. Is there a word from the Lord? Yeah, I had a word. Jubilee. That's all I had. Amen. But I knew God would continue to speak, and so. But God, what else?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in the Bible, we see Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, explained unto us in Leviticus chapter 25,
mm-hmm.
And it's a celebration
mm-hmm.
every 50 years.
Yes.
Every 50 years.
Yes.
But it was a celebration in which debts were canceled.
All right.
That slaves were freed.
Yes.
And property, land, was returned to the original owners.
Wow.
Yes.
And in the year of Jubilee,
mm-hmm.
the people didn't harvest land.
All right.
But yet they ate to the full.
All right.
By the grace of God.
Right.
And so Jubilee then was a time of freedom and restoration.
Yes, yes.
A time for the release and the return of person and property.
All right.
And yet, though, there's no indication in the Bible that the people actually carried out Jubilee. In our scripture text, you know, Jesus declares many wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
What Spirit? The Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
It was the same Spirit that lighted on him like a dove when John the Baptist baptized him.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same Spirit that after he was baptized led him into the wilderness.
Yes.
And now this same Spirit is upon him as he goes into the synagogue and preaches for the first time, at least in terms of Luke's recording of the gospel. Amen. Because he had been preaching before then. But the first time we hear Jesus preaching in Luke is in Luke chapter 4. And he tells us the Spirit of the Lord is upon him.
Yeah.
All right.
And Jesus begins to share with the people his whole mission. This was a mission statement.
Yeah.
He declared the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this. He essentially said to the people that the long-awaited Jubilee had arrived.
Yes. All right.
And I say long-awaited because the scripture tells us that he read from the prophet Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Isaiah 61. Verse 1 and 2. And when Isaiah prophesied that prophecy, the Jewish people believed that they were going to be set free from oppression and bondage imposed upon them by the Babylonians. But it didn't come.
All right.
The Jewish people did come back to the land, but not all of them, just a remnant. The majority of God's people were still scattered. And they've been waiting for hundreds of years. Because by this point, they now looked at Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 as a messianic prophecy, telling them that Messiah was going to come. Jesus knew this, and so when he stood up for the first time to preach, he said, let me go to the conclusion of the matter.
Yeah. All right.
And he spoke about his mission. And he let them know this long-awaited Messiah, this long-awaited deliverer is here. When he announced that he was preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, he was saying the long-awaited Jubilee of freedom and restoration, of the return of person and property, has now arrived. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, he told them. And this glorious time had come. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he had anointed him to preach. He didn't anoint him to come with an army. He didn't anoint him to come with weapons. He didn't anoint them to come with chariots and charioteers.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord simply anointed him to preach.
Thank you.
And it's through the preaching that deliverance has come. We stand up here today, amen, and we preach Jesus, amen. We preach the cross. And Paul said, amen, that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Don't underestimate the power of preaching. Jesus said, he has anointed me to preach. Jesus was saying, I'm bringing Jubilee to all who believe.
Yeah.
If you're a born again believer, amen, Jubilee has already come. Freedom and restoration. But I now understand what God spoke to me 4 months ago. Because he sent me here today to tell the line of Judah, Church of God in Christ, that the spirit of Jubilee, the dawning of Jubilee, of freedom and restoration, the return of person and property, has come to this house on this day. Glory to God. And it's not going to come by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord that is upon him and anointing him to preach.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. Thank you, God.
Pastor Hack, I need you to say something with me out loud. Because he has anointed me to preach.
Because he has anointed me to preach.
All right. Spill over, God. We need to say it one more time. Give witness to the truth and the power of it. Because he has anointed me to preach.
All right. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Line of Judah, Church of God in Christ, stretch forth your hand toward the man of God. And I want you to say this, because he has anointed him to preach. One more time. Because he has anointed him to preach. I went to school. I was in grade school.
Thank you, God.
In the late 60s, early 70s. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, we had teachers who carried rulers around. But they weren't measuring anything. Those rulers was just in case you wanted to become unruly. They get you back in line real quick. I still remember Mrs. Lewis. But English teachers back when I was in school always said to us, you don't start a sentence with the word because. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You do not start a sentence with the word because.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what they teach in school today, and maybe they're teaching that, amen. But all I know is that our phones are getting smarter, but the people are getting dumber. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
LOL. SMH. OMG. We don't even spell our words anymore.
Amen.
Amen. But I say this, amen, because I still understand that you don't start a sentence with the word because. But we're not starting a sentence with the word because, amen. Because he has anointed me to preach is the end of the matter. It's the conclusion of the matter. And Pastor Hackett, amen, God wants me to say to you and to the line of Judah, Church of God in Christ, that this simple refrain is the answer to every important question in your life dealing with your ministry and your destiny in God.
All right.
Will this ministry succeed?
Right.
Yes, it will.
Yes, right.
How do you know? Because he has anointed me to preach. Will the vision that God gave to you for this house be fulfilled in the earth? Yes, it will. How do you know? Because he has anointed me to preach. Am I truly making a difference in the lives of the people? Yes, I am. Because he has anointed me to preach. Whether the question comes from near or from far, whether it comes from within or from without, whether it comes from friends, loved ones, family members, or the enemy of your soul, whenever questions rise up in your spirit, you answer, yes it is, yes I will, but because he has anointed me to preach. Your marriage and your family shall prosper.
All right. Thank you.
For one simple reason. He's anointed to preach.
Yes, sir. All right, sir.
True freedom is yours on this side of glory.
All right. Yes.
Why? Because he's anointed you to preach. You shall get back everything that the locusts have eaten. Your time, your energy, your inspiration, your health. Why? Because God has anointed you to preach. Every question is answered by that simple refrain. Jesus spoke those words over 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And he's speaking them again today.
Yes, sir.
Into your heart and into your hearing.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So that you can stand up flat footed with no hesitation, no stuttering, and no blinking, and say, I'm going to do everything God has called me to do.
All right.
Because he has anointed me to preach. Every confession is undergirded by this.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord because he has anointed me to preach. Everything I set my hands to prosper because he has anointed me to preach. The blessing of the Lord comes upon me and overtakes me because he has anointed me to preach. I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover because he has anointed me to preach. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation because he has anointed me to preach. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want any good thing. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach. You run through truth. You leap over walls because he's anointed you to preach. No evil shall befall you. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling because he's anointed you to preach. Those Egyptians you see today, you will see them again, no more, forever, because anointed. And it's good news not only for Pastor, but for the line of Judah, Church of God. Why? Because the anointing exerts power and influence on every person that it touches.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Amen.
Yeah.
The anointing exerts power and influence on every person that it touches. God said in Isaiah 10 and 27, talking about the Assyrians, He said, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulders and his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. And the anointing that's on his life is an anointing to preach. I like what Paul says, amen. He said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, the world doesn't get this, amen. The world thinks you got to roll up your sleeves and you got to do certain things and your credit report has to be right, just right, and you got to have the right degree and you got to have the right hookup and you got to have this and you got to have that. But we in the church understand something, amen, that it's by the Spirit of God that we achieve in this earth. We don't buy into what they do. So guess what? It's through the foolishness of preaching that the promises of God come, that jubilee comes, that freedom and restoration break off in the house, that return and release of person and property. Ha! Somebody told me you're waiting for a building to be released. And I'm here to tell you, jubilee is here. They want us to struggle and strive, but we don't have to do that. It's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by His Spirit. Let's look at our scripture text for at least a couple of minutes, amen. Because Jesus is speaking here, amen. And He comes into the synagogue, and it says, as His custom was. That means Jesus went to the synagogue regularly. All I got to say is Jesus come to church regularly. Then. Amen. And it said he stood up to read and he was given the book of the prophet Isaiah. Look what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Don't get religious here, amen, and start talking about the poor in spirit. Yes, it includes the poor in spirit. But for those of you who don't believe, go and look it up in a concordance. And this word poor is translated here, pauper or beggar. It's talking about somebody who doesn't have physical substance, money, possession. Sometimes we get religious and that's why we don't get blessed. He said, "I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor." We can end poverty if we preach the gospel more. We don't need welfare. We need to preach the gospel. He says, "He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Those who don't have much. Those who know what it is to have lack. can't meet the need.
Yes, sir.
What did God anoint me to do? Not to give him money, but to preach. He sent me, he says, to heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Those who are discouraged because life hasn't quite turned out the way you thought it would.
All right.
Has anybody here ever been discouraged?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Has anybody ever woke up one day and said, this is not the way
yes,
it was supposed to be?
Yes,
anybody ever woke up and said, I never thought at this stage in my life that I would be here? Anybody ever been discouraged? I want you to know, amen, there's an anointing for you. And it comes through preaching. I love what God says, amen. In Isaiah 61 and 3, he said he gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. David says he turns my mourning into dancing. And he puts away the sackcloth and girds me up with gladness.
Yes.
Glory, glory.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory.
Your discouragement and the cure for your discouragement is not a new toy.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You don't have to go to the mall.
Right.
You don't have to get a new car, a new job, a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend. What you need is someone who has the Spirit of the Lord upon them that anoints them to preach.
Yes.
That's right.
To preach deliverance to the captives.
Yes.
Captives.
Yes.
People who have their freedom taken away from
them.
Right.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know you don't have to be incarcerated to be a captive? There are some people who are had their freedom of thought taken away.
Yes, sir.
The devil has so infiltrated your mind and spoken so many lies unto you that you are in a prison.
Yes.
Amen. And you don't even know it.
Amen.
Some people are held captive by fear.
Yes, sir.
Some people are held captive by their past.
Yes.
You failed before. Amen. And people keep reminding you how it didn't work. And now you are afraid to step out of the boat.
Yes.
Held captive by all kinds of things.
Yes.
But Jesus says there's an anointing.
Yes.
On my preaching that delivers the captive.
Yes.
The spiritually captive, the socially captive, the politically captive. There's an anointing for the captive.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
He also has anointed me to preach recovering of sight to the blind. The recovering of sight.
Mm-hmm.
You can't recover sight if you never had. This is more than him giving sight to blind Bartimaeus. This is about Jesus reaching all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam, amen, could clearly see the heart of God.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what was on God's heart and mind.
Mm-hmm.
How else do you explain that God brings every animal that he created
all right.
to Adam and said, here, you name them.
Yes.
And nowhere in the Bible is it recorded that God changed any name.
Right. that Adam gave those animals. Why? Because he was in lockstep agreement with God. He could see the heart of God and the mind of God perfectly. But then sin entered the world. And our ability to see God was him. And Jesus said, I come to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. Why? So that you and I can clearly see God again. And there's some of us who've had some hopes and some dreams and some visions that God has given us. But the problems of life has obscured them and you can't see them anymore. And Jesus is talking to you too. Because I'm here to help you recover your sight. I'm going to give you back that vision. I'm going to give you back that dream. And you're going to rise up in the Spirit of God and go forward and take the land. It's not over. It's not over.
Thank you.
I'm going to, Jesus, set at liberty them that are bruised. That word bruised means oppressed. I'm going to set you free. People oppressing you. Situations oppressing you. Thoughts oppressing you. And Jesus said, there's an anointing on my preaching that will set you at liberty. Some of you are longing to be free. You know the person God made you to be. And you know, even though you may not admit it, glory to God, but you know that you are not living out what God has placed in you to do. And there's an anointing on the preaching that's going to set you free. I was reading an article about a baseball player recently. Guy could run like anything. And his name is Carlos Gomez. And he could run. And he, everywhere he went, major league player, they kept telling him, hit the ball on the ground. Hit the ball on the ground. Use your speed. Hit the ball on the ground. Use your speed. And he hit the ball on the ground. And every year he hit about 220 or 230. That's not good for a baseball player, for those of you who don't know. Amen? So after years and years of doing this, he went to his manager and he said, I'm embarrassed. He said, I'm embarrassed every year hitting 220 or 230. He said, I'm better than this.
Thank you.
And he said to the manager, just let me be me.
Wow.
And ever since then, he's been hitting 280, 300. He's hit career high in home runs and RBIs. He's been named to all-star team. His career has taken off. Why? Because he now is just being himself. Some of you are oppressed because you're trying to live out what somebody else thinks you should be. And God is coming to free you from that so that you can just be you. And when you, glory to God, are free from that oppression, you're going to take
it
through the anointing of preaching.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your name.
And then finally Jesus said this, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jubilee. Amen.
Amen.
Freedom and restoration.
Hey, glory be to God. Thank you.
The return of person and property. How did Jesus preach this? Through the same Spirit that baptized him. Through the same Spirit that led him into the wilderness. Through the same Spirit that a few years later raised him from the dead. And I want you to know, London, you're the Church of God in Christ, that it is that same spirit that is on Pastor Hackett today that is anointing him to preach.
Thank you.
Jubilee has come to the house. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Jubilee has come to the house.
Yes.
Expect it. Receive it. Amen. Come into the house. Yes. Receive the preaching. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But understand something. Jesus preached this. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.
Yes.
But whether or not it's fulfilled in your life. Depends on whether you believe what you're hearing and then you start walking the thing out. Don't come in here and hear the anointed preaching. But don't do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Faith cometh by hearing, yes, and hearing by the word of God. But faith without works is dead. There has to be some corresponding action.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Anointing, anointed preaching is in this house. Amen. Yes.
All right.
Jubilee is here.
Amen.
Just like the people of God, amen. Lon and Judah, for the last couple of months, you've been scattered. And you got a remnant.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So it has returned.
All right.
So you got some other folk out there who are scattered.
Yes. All right. Amen.
But this word is for them too. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. The return of persons. Amen.
Yes.
People coming back to the line of Jesus, the Church of God in Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
People coming back.
Yes.
Why? The anointed. To preach. And the spirit of Jubilee that has broken forth in this house. People are coming back to the ministry. Amen. Because of the anointing on his life. I'm going to ask you to turn one place with me and I'm going to sit down. I think my 3 minutes to go. You got 2.5? You can turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. I just want to look at a couple of verses there. 2 Kings 13. Look at verse number 20 and 21. Second Kings chapter 20, 20 and 21. It says, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha. He revived and stood up on his feet. Get this picture, amen. Elisha was the man of God. He succeeded Elijah. And he had the anointing on his life to be the prophet in the land. But he died. And he had been dead long enough where there's nothing but bones left. And he's inside a cage. His bones are. And the Moabites are terrifying and terrorizing God's people. And so this man has died and his friends and his family are carrying him and they're going to give him a proper burial. Amen. I don't know where they're on their way to. But they see the band of Moabites coming. And so all they do in a rush is throw the man's body into the cage. And his body touches the bones of Elisha, who's long been dead. But when he touched the wound, life returned to his body. And he rose up and had a new lease on life. What made him get up? It was the anointing on Elisha's life. Elisha was so anointed that even in his death, his bones were still anointed. All I say to you, Lion of Judah, Church of God in Christ, is if the bones of a dead man can breathe new life into a dead situation and give a man a brand new start, how much the more than the anointing that is on a living, breathing vessel of God breathe new life into you. The anointing affects everything that it touches. Lion of Judah, Church of God in Christ, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Work hard at staying together. Why? Because he has anointed him to preach. And because of the anointing that's on his life, the spirit of jubilee has come to this house. And as Jesus said over 2,000 years ago,
this day
is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Amen.
God has anointed Pastor Hackett to preach.
Amen.
I praise God for all the testimonies I heard today. I was here for every anniversary. I heard that. Raymond. Minister Minga. Missionary Casey. I was here for every anniversary.
All right, sir.
Praise be unto God. You have not been here in vain.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Amen. The best is yet to come.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. The people were waiting a long time for Jubilee.
Yeah.
A lot longer than the promises you've been waiting for.
All right. Yeah.
Huh? But God has sent me here. I told you 4 months ago, one word, Jubilee.
Yes.
That's the word for this house. Amen.
Yes.
Jubilee.
Yes.
Amen. Freedom.
Freedom.
Restoration.
Yes.
Return and release of person and property. Jubilee has come to the house. Amen. And the blessings of God are going to come through the foolishness of preaching.
All right.
You still going to that church?
Yeah.
You still listening to those?
Yeah. That's right.
Why are you doing that?
Because
he's anointed him to preach.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Come on, back on your feet. Let's pray together.